Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. If you want to join the conversation, get in the chat room, say hello to people. That's a great place to hang out. A lot of good information comes from that chat room and the people in it. So I hope you have a good time there. Man, what a week. Finally, it feels like I have, you know, rebuilt the system. We're ready to go. I hope it's working well. You know, you never know till you go back and listen to stuff, but I have a lot of new stuff this week. Well, not a lot, just a little. You know, and this is the thing. Thanks. I'm doing great, Beetle. You know, when you're, like, doing things for yourself, like growing your own food, or you have a little property or a little bit of... Oh, okay. sorry, I get distracted. When in the heck am I going to take it down? I'll get to it. Anyway, when you're doing things for yourself, it seems like, you can tell me if that's any better. Anyway, if you're doing things for yourself, you can do it just a little bit at a time. You know, and that's the thing is you don't have to do everything at once. And one of the things that happened this week was really kind of crazy. So, you know, last week I did the whole giant garden revamp. We, you know, made the garden five times bigger. We're taking this food shortage business seriously. And whether it happens or not, it really doesn't matter because we'll be prepared. You know, we'll be prepared as well as you can be prepared. But while I was doing Wednesday night show, like literally while I was on the air, one of my dental assistant's dads actually like does the whole bee thing like commercially. Like he has, you know, commercial semis that he delivers bees to different fields for. He brought up four bee boxes. Some people call them hives. And four queens and, you know, the whole four swarms and everything. So they put them up in the north pasture right under these two big, beautiful, fully bloomed out cherry trees. So, of course, the bees were pretty happy moving into that. And, I mean, that happened while I was sitting here because we had already kind of made the decision. I talked to him a few times about, you know, putting some bees up there. I told him I'd be interested in learning that myself also. And I just told him, I said, well, do you need access? You know, you can access the north pasture or whatever. I said, I'd be happy to be here or not. I go, you're welcome to come and go as you please. Well, so while I'm live on the air Wednesday evening, yeah, he delivered those four boxes. And so now we have bees, which is kind of awesome. I'm pretty excited about that. We'll have some honey, which will be great. And, you know, that's going to be something totally new for us. We actually tried it a couple times, and we did not succeed. Actually, I didn't try it, but my son-in-law did. And, right, we actually are going to go get some clones this week also because, you know, it's good to have some decent medicinal cannabis around just in case, or even non-medicinal, just pure recreational stuff, and so easy to grow. So yeah, they'll like some of that, and they'll do a good job, I'm sure. So the bees came. We've been in this cycle of weather that's just like perfect, because it'll be cold and wet and rainy, and then the sun will break out and there'll be like sunshine and just kind of warm. Like, just warm enough you could shed your jacket for a bit. And, man, things have been exploding around here. Like, all the flowers are blossoming. The cherry trees are going crazy. I didn't actually check out the orchard specifically to see if anything's blooming out there. But the early flowers, the early spring flowers are coming on like crazy. It's actually just really good. I'm really excited about all of that. And like I said, like just perfect weather right now for it, because it's just that cycle, man, that spring cycle in the Pacific Northwest. Well, in Oregon, I should say specifically. You just get these days that you rotate through, you know, you rotate through really nice and then wet and cold and then really nice all in the same day, multiple kind of cycles of it. So that's been really awesome, except for the frickin' pollens that are coming out like crazy, man. There's tree pollens on everything. The hot tub, I know, you know, first world problems. The hot tub was covered with tree pollen. And of course you get, if you have allergies, you react to those. So, and I do react to them. So probably sometime during this, you know, 1 hour fun hour we have, I'll be having to, you know, mute the mic for a minute. Because even though I do take some stuff for allergies, it still seems like, you know, you just get overwhelmed by them. So I wanted to talk about a couple things I'd noticed recently as far as technology goes. I noticed, and I'm going to give you one specific example, because just in case you aren't looking out for these things, they can look so real. And I don't know who it is, you know, there's hackers all the time, scammers all the time. They're always working, constantly working, because they only need a couple people to fall for their stuff and they make money. But one of the guys I listen to on YouTube still, he's a gamer and I like to watch him or listen to him, watch and listen to him play. He's entertaining, he's kind, real nice guy, called Rad Brad if you want to look him up. He's been doing that a long time. I've talked about him before, but whenever he starts a new series, like a new game launch, and he usually gets them early because he's very successful at what he does, he usually offers two copies of the game for free, you know, an Xbox copy and a PlayStation copy. Well, all you have to do is leave a comment. And that's how you qualify. And then when he decides, like, sometimes he'll say, okay, if I get 100,000 views on this, you know, I'll award these two. Or he'll say, in 2 weeks, I'll pick the winners, and, you know, he awards the games. But this time, about 2 days after I left a comment, I see this email, and it says, congratulations, you've qualified for the final round of the giveaway. And it was on this guy's channel, but it wasn't from this guy, and it wasn't even from YouTube. So I knew immediately that it was a scam, because I know that Rad Brad doesn't do that. And I also knew he never really has like a final round or anything. He just does it. He's pretty kicked back and relaxed. So, you know, he just does it, just like a, you know, anyway, but be aware, because I saw something else. I think it was, oh yeah, as a matter of fact, this was weird, because it was from an implant company, dental implant company, who said, you know, I needed to check out their new, or register for their new seminar. But when I looked at the email address, number one, it wasn't from the company, and number two, it had a CC to some other Gmail account. You know, I don't know who that was, but it absolutely, I knew, was a complete fake. Anyway, so be on the lookout. You know, be careful when you're going through your email to spot those things, because it would sure be easy to fall for something like that. They make it seem so real that you could fall for it. I mean, some people do fall for it, so just be on the lookout. So this week, if you remember last week, I kind of broke my tractor. I didn't really break it, but I did a bolt came out that actually holds the stand that holds the front end loader, the bucket on the front. And what was weird is I didn't notice it until I unloaded the bucket and the stand went down, and then the arm on the right side of the front loader, I could see that they were separated. I was like, oh, now what do I do? Well, I had to just unload the bucket because, of course, I couldn't put it back on because this bolt was missing. The crazy thing is, like, you would think you could just go get, like, a regular bolt and fix it, and I probably could, but that front loader is so heavy, you need some kind of hardened steel bolt to go in there. You don't want to shear it off, that's for sure. But what was weird is when I went to the tractor store, it's a John Deere, I went to the John Deere place, they didn't even have one. I'm thinking to myself, why wouldn't you have parts so I could fix the tractor? But this is the thing people don't understand about farmers. And I covered a few weeks back this, when I was talking about the autonomous tractor, the tractor that just drives itself and does its own thing. One of the things that's going on right now is John Deere doesn't allow farmers to access the software so that they could program the software to work however they want. Of course, because John Deere wants it to be proprietary. But here's the problem is farmers, when it's time to farm, they got to farm. They can't take time off to fix, to send their stuff in to, you know, a service guy or have the service people come out. I don't even know how all of that works because my tractor is small enough that, you know, you can fix it yourself or you can put it on a trailer and haul it in. But some of these guys who are doing the big, you know, thousands of acres, you know, they don't have time to stop and go in to take their equipment into town and fix it, especially if it's not running. So there was like this big argument. It's a right to repair, and you've probably heard that as far as electronics goes too, like, you know, our cell phones and tablets and all this stuff that the companies that produce them don't want you to be able to fix it because they want you to have to bring it in. Anyway, so it was kind of crazy that John Deere didn't have this one bolt, man. He handed me like five bolts. He didn't even charge me for them. He said, see if any of those will work. By the way, I got to tell you, that kind of had me worried too. Because why wouldn't this guy know that, why wouldn't he know which bolt I needed? That had me a little bit concerned because, like he has a diagram there. He has a picture of the tractor I have and the front loader I have. He has all that stuff right there. Like, why wouldn't he know that, like, that I needed a bolt of a certain length and a certain pitch and, you know, a certain diameter? Yeah, I guess he had the diagram right in front of him. And I don't know why he couldn't, like, come up with the right one. But, I mean, I stood there for, like, 20 minutes, like, talking to him about the diagram, talking to him about the front loader. And finally I said, okay, look, I'll take these. And when I get back to my place, I mean, it was 15 miles away. When I get back to my place, I'll send you a picture of what I need. I'll send you a picture of the parts that are broken. And, you know, hopefully that'll help him out. But sure enough, you know, he had already ordered the piece he thought it was. So when I sent him the picture, he goes, yeah, that's a part I ordered, so we're all good. And then it came in Thursday. I went and picked it up Friday, put the bucket back on. We're back in business doing the tractor and thing. Luckily, I shouldn't say luckily, because I love doing the tractor thing. But I didn't have to do much this weekend. I'm not kidding. This weekend, I was still kind of recovering from last weekend. It's like, I don't know, being 64, whatever. I'm blessed to be able to do what I can do. But man, it took a few days to get back to feeling like normal. So we have some seeds in the garden. We started moving strawberry plants. We have 200 strawberry plants. And we moved them out from the upper compound into the garden proper, I guess you would say. We kind of had them up here because it was just, you know, it was kind of a kid's garden. You know, they could go pick their strawberries and eat them. And but what was happening, of course, is the dogs were peeing on them. And hang on. Yeah, and then the kids didn't want to eat them so much. Don't blame them, really. So we moved them down in the garden. The dogs can't really get in the garden. Just, you know, whatever other critters can get in there. But also, it's becoming a big operation. I mean, 200 strawberry plants is going to produce quite a few strawberries. So I think it was time to move them out and put them down there in that nice, rich soil we just tilled up. We've been preparing for a few years anyway. So strawberry plants, and we put some sugar snap peas in, and I think that's it for out there. Yeah, so one of the stories I wanted to talk about this week, just briefly, because I talked about it last week, and it was this story about Trump and having missing phone records. And last week when the story came out, it was just like, yeah, there, you know, it seems like Trump, or we think Trump's involved in, you know, promoting this insurrection because there's 7.5 hours of phone records missing. And somebody heard something about burner phones. And I said last week, yeah, somebody heard something about burner phones. When you get actual facts, come back and talk. Well, guess what? There is no burner phones. There isn't even 7.5 hours of time missing from the phone records. But like I said last week, they absolutely are going to do everything they can from keeping Trump from getting elected again, which is pretty hilarious because they're wasting a ton of energy. Just imagine how much crap is going wrong right now, and they're wasting all this energy to make sure this guy can't run for office again. Can't run for office again. We'll see how that goes. But also I noticed this week, so, you know, I just like to tell people to, like, you know, keep your eyes open, man, and don't fall for some of this stuff because, you know, stuff is happening. It's crunch time. It's April. Let's see, May, June, July, August, September, October. 7 months. 7 months till midterm elections. You know, they had to make sure COVID disappeared. You see, COVID is like, you know, exploding in China. And, you know, we're just like playing it off like it's no big deal. Everybody's completely ignoring it, which is pretty damn hilarious. I don't know how many more accurate data came out this week about who actually died of COVID and who didn't, but more data has come out. But we're not going to talk about it. You know, we're certainly not making it a big story. But this was kind of interesting to me. It said NBC News anchor Chuck Todd forecasted Wednesday that Democrats are headed for a shellacking in the upcoming 2022 midterm elections. And he says, breaking down the latest NBC News poll, Todd demonstrated how three key metrics squarely paint Democrats in dangerous territory, according to the poll. 71% of Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. 71%. Damn, it's like we could agree on something. Think about that. 71% of it just says Americans, so it doesn't really say who they polled. But I mean, 71% of whoever they polled, that's a pretty good number. That means, you know, there's a lot of people who are kind of actually waking up now to what the heck is going on in the country, and maybe they're actually going to figure out that, you know, some of the policies that they wish would lead to this utopia that they believe they can create by just, you know, putting so many restrictions on using things in the environment, they're going to find out that, I mean, those regulations are expensive and not doing a lot of good right now with everything else going on too. But anyway, 71% of Americans believe the country is headed in the wrong direction. President Joe Biden's job approval rating, it was down to 37% yesterday. And Republicans hold a lead over Democrats on the generic ballot, indicating more voters favor the GOP over Democrats for the upcoming election. Todd explained the negative figures are historic for NBC's poll, which has been running for decades. But this is what I wanted to point out. Like, has anything changed since the last election that would make that would lead you to believe that this election is actually going to be somehow fair or not manipulated? I mean, the big tech companies are still censoring. They're still restricting speech to only the views that they think are valuable, not allowing any dissenting opinion at all. Like, are the votes more secure now? Has the voting system changed at all? Like, are the people who are going to be counting these votes the same people who counted the last votes? I would assume so, because, you know, like, a lot of people don't have time to go count votes, but if you're one of the voting type, I guess this would be a good time to see how you could get involved if you want to ensure that the counting process goes well, as honestly as it can go. Is there still the same, are there still the same machines counting the votes as in the last election? Like, are they still going to use those same machines that have proven to be hackable, that are connected to the internet, that are that allow for votes to be changed pretty much at will? Is there any more accountability? Are different people appointed to count votes? Have enough people actually awakened and moved away from social media sites from now on known as socialism media sites? That's my new term for them, the socialism media sites. But also remember, NBC is mainstream media. NBC will play you. You know, I don't know where this poll was from. I didn't look into it that deeply. I just know for a fact that there's going to be a lot of misinformation coming out. You know, so let's say, I don't know how big midterm elections are. I know presidential elections are bigger, like more turnout usually. But let's say they gave the idea that it was just going to be a landslide and that, you know, so many seats in the Senate and the House were going to change. And then people just were like, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about this. This is in the bag, which is kind of what this story reminds me of, you know, the kind of propaganda that you see around election time with either how great it's going to be, you know, to turn over so many seats and, you know, or how horrible it's going to be because we're losing seats. The information that I still get, you know, from different political entities, it's so funny because they're all begging so hard for money. And even seats that, you know, have been secure in the past. I was looking at one right before. Matter of fact, let me see if I can pull it up. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it, to do that live? Where is it? Of course, I might have got rid of it, of course. That'd be funny. So I think it was John Kennedy. Let's see. Oh, I don't like to waste a lot of time doing this. But, okay, but let's just, it doesn't matter who it was, really. I just kind of would have been more fun to get this, like, live reaction. But pretty much as soon as I see him, I delete him. That's why it's gone already. But he said, you know, it's not looking good for us. As a matter of fact, I have to be honest with you, it's looking terrible for us. Now, John Kennedy, he's not from Oregon, I know that. But, you know, they just send out massive emails to, you know, voters or previous voters. And I was thinking to myself, well, listen, jackass, you maybe wouldn't be having the problem if you actually had done your job for the last, you know, 2 years, 4 years, 16 years, however many terms you've done, you know, you probably wouldn't have had that problem if you would have stood up against vaccine mandates, if you would have stood up against social distancing, if you would have stood up against people losing their jobs and losing their businesses in this last year, if you actually would have done something to excite people to have your constituents be proud of you, you wouldn't be having a problem raising money right now. You really wouldn't. So if you're having problem getting funds, it's because you suck. It's because you sucked in the last 2 years at the very least. And I think John Kennedy's one of those guys that I hear him sometimes and I think, oh yeah, I like that guy. But still, I mean, did he do what he was supposed to do? Did he protect his people? Did he stand up for freedom and liberty? Like, did he protect people's livelihood? Yeah, so you come begging for money from people who you just sent to the unemployment lines, to businesses, you know, from businesses that had to close down. I'm sure you're having trouble raising funds. It's difficult. Difficult to give money to the guy who could have prevented that all. But instead, you know, there you are. Your pockets aren't full enough. That's unfortunate. Oh my God, this is probably my favorite topic of the week right here. Oh my goodness. Okay, so, you know, I'm an environmentalist, but I'm not that kind of environmentalist. Hang on, drink time. We really have no idea. There's so many people that are going to be in for such a shock in the next year. Like a lot of people who hang out at reallibertymedia.com, who hang out in the chat room, they are not the ones who are going to be shocked because they've seen this coming for a long time. And a lot of them are very prepared for whatever's coming their way. But there is a ton of people, I'm going to get to a story in a minute, who are absolutely not prepared. And they're going to be shocked when they get to this point that stuff that they think they should just be able to walk in the store and buy, and it's not there. It's going to be shocking for a lot of people. But this is what I thought was awesome. So you've heard recently about the federal government blaming the gas companies and the oil companies for gouging customers, right? So I ran into this story. I better bring it up. Pebbles is helping me. She's going to navigate the web for me here. She's like sitting right in front of the computer screen, which is cool. Okay, I'm going to move it to the other screen. Hopefully she doesn't move. Yeah, the cost of lithium, a metal used to make electric car batteries, is up nearly 500% since last year. Supply is simply nowhere near enough to feed this demand surge. So how is that going to work out for our friends who say all we have to do to get over this gas crisis is to go out and buy an electric car? Well, number one, now the electric car companies are going to be gouging you because lithium, and by the way, nickel, is hard to come by. How about that? Will you ever hear anybody talk about those mining companies gouging their customers or the electric car companies gouging their customers because lithium and nickel are hard to come by? And I mean, how are we going to generate these millions of cars that the federal government expects us to buy to get over the gas crisis? And by the way, I had no idea how much an electric car costs. I saw something like a stripped down Nissan Leaf was 60 grand. Is that right? Anybody know if that's correct or not? It doesn't really matter. What's really stupid is that you have to go out and pay tens of thousands of dollars for an electric car so you can save your gas money, which means you're going to be spending far more on the car payment if you have a car payment than you would be on gas to fill up a fairly efficient older car. And, you know, now you're not even going to be able to get electric cars because, you know, number one, chip shortage. Number two, lithium and nickel. Or, hey, it's not like that stuff grows on trees, if you know what I mean. Unlike what I believe, fossil fuel being a renewable resource, because it doesn't seem like we ever actually run out. I mean, maybe wells run dry once in a while, but I've heard, I mean, and it's just gossip, honest to God, but I've heard that they go back and tap them later and there's oil in there again, which kind of makes sense. I mean, if it's a reservoir of oil, or a reservoir where oil is being created and stored, it seems like, well, if you wait long enough, there's going to be more oil, because if it's truly fossil fuel, there's been fossils for billions of years, apparently. And so, you know, we should have pretty much an endless supply of fossil fuel. So anyway, yeah. So the electric cars that they want, you know, that they think is going to be the big solution, they're not going to be available because they can't get the lithium and nickel for the batteries for them. Pebbles playing with a pen on the desk. Oh, Pebbles, you should at least purr or something to make yourself known. What else did I have on this little idea here? Oh, yeah. Oh, well, of course, lithium. Yeah. Lithium carbonate, a key ingredient used in manufacturing electric vehicle batteries and other low-carbon energy resources such as solar panels. So not only are electric cars like in jeopardy now because we can't mine enough lithium, and yes, I said mine enough lithium, because most of the greenies out there who really believe in electric cars have no idea that we actually destroy the earth through mining these rare minerals. It's crazy. So it says lithium has jumped 95% already in 2022 and is up almost 500% year over year. Anything else interesting? No. On March 8th, nickel prices more than doubled in a matter of hours. And while the price has come down from its apex in recent days, it still remains significantly inflated. So, there you go. Your electric car dream is fading fast, along with your solar panels. So I guess you have wind turbines, the like least efficient way of generating energy, in my opinion. Actually, it's not cost effective at all. By the time the wind turbine dies, it hasn't generated enough to pay for itself in the first place. So it makes zero sense to do wind power. But we do kill a lot of birds with those big old fans. So a couple of things I wanted to talk about that are gonna affect food prices coming this year. I need to go back and say one more thing about electric cars. So this genius governor of Washington, Jay Inslee, has said that he doesn't want any new cars sold after 2030, which is literally just 7 short years away and some months, depending on if you count the car year or the actual year. He wants all electric cars only to be sold in the state of Washington, or to be used in government, I don't know. But he wants them all electric, no more fossil fuels. That dude is an idiot, complete idiot. But he'll be gone by then, so hopefully whoever comes next will straighten that all out. But just stupid. I mean, so if these people actually, like, looked at science and statistics and data and supply and demand, if they actually looked into what goes into making electric cars, making solar panels, how much damage is done to the earth in mining those elements, minerals, I think they'd have a little different take on, you know, how much damage fossil fuel is doing in reality. But no, he won't. So a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about automated farming. I talked about the autonomous tractor. John Deere was talking about having, you just like basically take it out to the field and you know, turn on its computer system, GPS, whatever, and it goes and does whatever. It'll harvest, it'll till, it'll, you know, I don't know, you know, put the rows in, plant the seeds, whatever. So here in Oregon, on the coast of Oregon, there's a dairy farmer who has gone all automated. He has a robot that actually on his dairy farm goes down the rows and feeds the cows. And then he has an automated milker that has a Wi-Fi connection. The cows, all the cows have their own collar. And the cows voluntarily go up to this milking machine a couple times a day to be milked. And that, of course, is partially, I guess, well, in that guy's case, he actually started looking into it because his wife and a child were killed in a head-on collision. And then he was a single father of, I think, his only other child. And he was thinking, man, I work from, you know, 4 a.m. to, you know, after dark, and that's not really allowing me to be a father, is what he said in this article. So he started looking into automating his dairy farm, and it's worked out pretty well. But in response to a couple weeks ago, Oregon and Washington both passed, I remember doing the stories. I think both, well, Oregon definitely passed a law that would force farmers to pay laborers for overtime. And of course, immediately, farmers had to let a bunch of employees go and hire some more, so that they could work multiple employees part-time hours, like 30 hours, instead of anybody 40 hours or more, because they can't afford the overtime. It's not like farmers have this tremendous amount of profit they make off of their crops. Like, they're not billionaires. It may look like it because they own, you know, million-dollar tractors or harvesters or, you know, machinery. Yeah, it's a huge operation and it's expensive. But when it's all said and done, you know, they have enough money to feed their family and raise their family and live like the rest of us. It's not like a huge margin in farming. But so this dairy farm being automated is kind of another step in that direction. You know, instead of hiring employees, instead of, you know, paying, you know, really good people for overtime, or not paying them overtime, but just paying them to work, because number one, they want to work and they don't mind the overtime. One thing I said before about this whole thing when it was going on, the activists who were talking about the farmers and the workers, there wasn't a single actual worker there. It was like family members of workers and others. Well, they said they were family members of workers, but I don't think any of that was ever verified. My point is, those people wanted to work. They want to work, and they want that money, and they work hard for that money, too. They're hard-working people, man. They get out there, you know, whenever you ask them to come to work, they're at work, and they stay until they're done. As far as I know, you don't hear farmers complaining about these seasonal workers that come in. They, you know, they're there to work and they work hard. And they want to work. And here we take that away from them because now, you know, somebody who isn't out there working, somebody who's not actually part of the scene, creates some issue that says, hey, you need to pay these people overtime, and even the people don't want it. The farmers don't want, nobody in the actual loop wants it. It's the outsiders who forced it on them. And of course, so now a lot of those people are making a lot less money And there's more people hired, I guess, could be considered a good thing. But, you know, person to person, they're making less money because they're only working 30 hours instead of 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever it is they wanted to work before. The same thing has happened in vineyards here in Oregon, especially. You know, Oregon has, I know it's hard to believe, this actually kind of shocked me when it started happening in my lifetime. We actually have really nice environment for vineyards. So in the past 20 years, I would say, even properties very close to mine, as a matter of fact, I could almost throw a stone to the closest one. I could hit it with a potato gun for sure. I hope y'all know what a potato gun is. That's pretty redneck, really. But anyway, the Wrigley Vineyard is very close to here, and they're very successful, create really nice wines. But I'm seeing now that even those vineyards are trying to automate. So they're trying to eliminate... you know, getting kind of sucked into that whole argument of whether they need to pay, you know, overtime for their workers. And they're looking to save money too. Now, vineyards, I don't know what the profit margin on a vineyard is. It seems like it would be different because wine, you know, it's wine. We don't actually need wine like we need potatoes and broccoli and cauliflower and corn and wheat and rye and oats and blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, a lot of people spend good money for some decent wine. And anyway, let's see what this says. He has, last week, Alexander Alec Levin, an Oregon State University viticulturalist and assistant professor, planted a no-touch vineyard at the Southern Oregon Research Center. The experimental 1.25-acre plot of Pinot Noir wine grapes will be pruned, tended, and harvested almost entirely by machines. So, you know, more jobs taken away from actual people and going to machines. Of course, those machines, I'm sure they're expensive, man. Could you even imagine? When I was at John Deere this week, I was kind of looking at some of the big, gigantic harvesters. I was wondering, like, I almost want to go see how much one of those costs. Like, there's no way I could use it. I mean, I could, but I'd have to ask the local farmers, like, hey, you want me to use my bitchin' machine on your on your plot of land? Because I don't have enough land to use one of those giant machines on. And I'm sure all the farmers around here have that, you know, have the machinery already. So it'd be hard to make the damn machine pay itself off. I'd probably have to lease some land and actually start working the land. And I'm not really ready to do that yet. So, but yeah, some of those, you can see some of those rigs are made just for, matter of fact, we have like a pretty big, hazelnut, Filberts, people call them different things. In Oregon, we call them, what do we call them? Hazelnut farm, yeah. We have pretty big orchards here, and a lot of them are going to this, they have these certain tractors. I don't know if you've ever seen this, it's the craziest thing. If you look at a hazelnut orchard, maybe all orchards are like this, but we have hazelnuts here. The ground is like carpet. It is so clean. Like there's no grass under it. They don't let leaves hang out there. They trim the branches every season. They properly trim their trees. And, you know, they harvest the nuts. And nothing is ever left on the ground, man. It's the craziest thing. Nice and clean anyway. But I've even seen some machines going down those rows of trees. Like, they don't let them get too big, and I think there's a reason for that. I almost kind of think it's because of the way they harvest hazelnuts, is they only let the tree get so big. So now they have a vehicle that's tall enough to go over the tree. And I don't know what that vehicle does. I don't know if it trims it. I don't know if it shakes it. I've never actually watched it in operation, so maybe I need to do that sometime. But again, here's another crop that, you know, automation is being put into place on so that they don't have to hire workers. Now, I remember when I was in high school, and my friends would tell me, like, they would say, oh, I'm going to go to work. Oh, where are you going to go to work? Well, we're going to go pick hazelnuts. I was like, oh, can you make money doing that? And they're like, yeah, you can make money. You get however many dollars a bag. And I was like, oh, man, I went and tried that for a day. It was ridiculous. I was picked for like an hour. I had like barely had this burlap bag, the bottom. I probably had 3 pounds of hazelnuts in there. And so it was like hand done at the time. And, but some of my friends, I mean, they were really good at it. Same with strawberries. You go out to the strawberry fields and say, hey, I'd like to work for a few hours. And they'd pay you for however many flats you picked. Man, that's some hard work, isn't it? I don't know if any of you guys have ever done it, but. Oh, anyway, it's kind of more stuff that's going to affect food availability this year. BlackRock came out and said, let's see what BlackRock said. I was kind of surprised. They literally came out and said this. BlackRock co-founder and president Robert Kapito said Tuesday that the global supply chain and soaring inflation crisis will soon have dramatic effects on the U.S. economy that will result in a noticeable scarcity of goods not experienced before by many younger Americans. That's no kidding. It's going to be scary. The scarcity, he said, will likely be a shock to the system for many who are accustomed to an abundant and comfortable lifestyle. For the first time, this generation is going to go into a store and not be able to get what they want. Adding, we have a very entitled generation that has never had to sacrifice. And oh my God, I got to tell you guys something. I've probably said this before. In fact, I'm 100% sure I've covered it before, but it's getting real now. So two of the grandkids have such limited diet that I'm a little worried. Like I'm kind of worried that they're probably just not going to survive because they will not eat any other food than whatever, like chicken nuggets and I forget. There's like a couple, you know, things that, like, I'm thinking chicken nuggets are not going to be available in 6, 8, 9 months. Sorry. They're just not going to be there. So I did notice like, Sheck and Crystal are trying, you know, to get them to eat different foods now, to eat real food because, you know, when it's no longer available, hopefully they'll all be acclimated to trying something new. So I had another story about kind of the local water level, the reservoirs in this area also, which is going to affect food prices in the long run. So out of I think it was 5 reservoirs. Let me go back here. Let's see. So here are the reservoirs. Wickiup Reservoir, Prineville, Crescent Lake, Ochoco, and Crane Prairie. Out of those 5 reservoirs, only one is at kind of an acceptable rate. The other 4 are below normal, are still in drought period. We're not getting that much rain, even though I say we're kind of in a good cycle. It's like the quantity of rain is that much. And these reservoirs, they're reservoirs for a reason. We reserve water so people can use them on their crops to grow food. And one of those reservoirs that's not mentioned here is the Klamath River Basin, which actually sends water to Northern California and Southern Oregon. Here's the problem. So if there's not enough water, like last year, as a matter of fact, they actually didn't produce a lot of food last year. Now, usually you kind of get a recovery year because everybody was like, oh, okay, well, we didn't get to grow food last year because we didn't have enough water. So, you know, we were kind of screwed. And then, you know, you get a kind of you build up the reservoirs over the year and then you can send more water. Well, that hasn't happened. So Northern California, which produces a lot of freaking food, is not going to be producing a lot of food this year. Not only that, but but the geniuses in California, state capital, actually want to pay farmers not to grow food. And I know we've heard this before, and it hasn't worked so well before, but it says California would pay farmers not to plant thousands of acres as part of a $2.9 billion plan announced Tuesday aimed at letting more water flow through the state's major rivers and streams to help restore the unique habitat in one of North America's largest estuaries. Remember I said that they had an invasive species that they actually go out of their way to keep it alive? So, wow, what was that? That was kind of weird. I don't know if y'all heard that. I don't know where it came from. I'll find it later. And if you didn't hear it, good. But it wasn't, I didn't do it on purpose, whatever it was. Hopefully it didn't say I disconnected. No, I'm still going. Okay, everything's still going, it looks like. So I'm not going to worry about it too much. Anyway, this agreement signed Tuesday between state and federal law officials and some of California's biggest water agencies would result in about 35,000 acres of rice fields left unused, or about 6% of the state's normal crop each year, according to the California Rice Commission. The result, combined with other measures, would be up to an extra 824,000 acre feet of water each year flowing through the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta. 1 acre foot of water is more than 325,000 gallons, which is usually enough to supply 2 average households for a year. The money will come from the state and federal government and the water agencies themselves, which for the first time have agreed, listen to this, to tax themselves to help pay farmers who often have more senior water rights not to plant some crops. Oh my gosh. So they're going to tax themselves. I don't know how that could happen since they're working from taxpayer money. Okay, whatever. Oh. All right. Crazy. The world, seriously, it's a crazy place. Getting crazier all the time. Somebody said in chat yesterday, was it in chat yesterday? Oh, it was in Ground Zero's chat. Somebody said, you know, it doesn't even seem like the same planet anymore. Like they said, everything seems different. And I said in there, yeah, literally every single day is a flipping joke. Like every single day you hear something more stupid than the day before. Hey, how about Jen Psaki going to MSNBC for, what's she going to make, $2.5 million a year or something like that? Jen Psaki? Oh my God. Well, that should be entertaining. Of course, nobody's going to watch her. Well, somebody will. There's a handful of people still watch MSNBC and CNN. Man, you can bet she's going to get torn up. I can't wait. There's going to be some great, interesting stories coming out of this. All right, that's pretty much, I think, let me just review here real quick. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Nope. Right. Don't have silent air time. It's not good. Oh, did that. Can you even imagine, like, what it really doesn't matter why farmers wouldn't like plant crops. The fact that they don't plant crops is going to be a problem. Rice, I don't know, 6% of the rice fields in Northern California not being planted may not sound like a huge deal. But if you think about the additional shortage from not having proper fertilization, which of course all our fields need now because they're so depleted of nutrients that you can't actually grow anything in the raw soil, which is kind of sad because, I mean, there's some beautiful valleys in California that had all of this, sedimentary soil, and it was beautiful soil, but we've depleted it so much now we have to add nutrients and fertilizer and then, of course, herbicide and pesticides so we can grow enough food to feed millions of people throughout the entire world. You know, and that's the other thing I was thinking about this week, sadly enough. I was thinking about how many people who are already homeless and already unable to access regular food, what it's going to be like for them. I mean, maybe I don't understand what this food shortage is going to be like. I'm certain I don't have a grasp on the severity of it, but what I think I have a grasp on is it's going to be important to have access to food you control, because all of the rest of it that's going to be coming from somewhere else, from some other state, from some other country, I mean, gas is going to be expensive. Diesel is going to be expensive. Fertilizer is going to be expensive if you can get it. All of those things are going to increase the cost, number one, which, of course, I guess for some, that could be a good thing because people won't be able to afford it, so the people who can afford it will go out and buy it. That would be good. I mean, I'm planning on raising enough chickens for my family and one or two other families because we have the ability to do that. And I think it would be, you know what? I know we're getting short of time. I'm going to make this really quick. I always say that. You know, Rochelle's mom was born in 1919. She passed a few years ago, but man, I got to learn a lot of beautiful stuff from her. Like just talking to her about that era, you know, when there wasn't a lot of food, when the Great Depression came. Her dad he was fortunate. He worked for a great company and he made money. And they had a dairy farm and they had food. They had a garden. He would go to the store and buy bags of flour. And back then it was like 50-pound bags of flour, like a burlap sack full of flour. And he would bring the bags home, and then he would divvy it up and give it to his neighbors who didn't have, you know, 50-pound bags of flour, who didn't have flour at all, who didn't have food. They would harvest their potatoes. They would harvest their garden and split it up with the neighbors. They would milk the cows and split that with the neighbors so that everybody had butter and cream and milk. Anyway, that's it for this week. I hope to see you guys on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on Real Liberty Media. You can catch the show always on whatever podcast server you want to use. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.